Tonight, we come to the last evening of the year. Indeed, time has flown by so very quickly. As it was like yesterday that I stood up here to give the New Year's Eve message, the Watch Night Service message. And now I'm here again delivering the last message of the year. So you see how fast time flies. And I, especially with the varying seasons here, really we feel that time flies very, very quickly. And before we know it, we will have come to the end of the year 2010. Be sure of that. All right. Now the subject this evening is forget the past, reach for the goal. The great Apostle Paul says this, "Brethren, I come not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting all those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now, I'm quite absent-minded. Those of us who grow old will understand, what have grown old will know what I'm talking about. Now, I've almost reached the point where I open the door of the fridge and then I forget what I want to get out of the fridge. I think it's a common thing for older people. Now, then of course the extreme form of forgetfulness is Alzheimer's. Now, if you have Alzheimer's, then you may reach a stage where you might forget who you are. Now, that kind of forgetfulness is of course not good. Absent-minded forgetfulness is of course not good. But there is another kind of forgetfulness. And this kind of forgetfulness is not absent-minded forgetfulness, but it is a willful forgetfulness. For example, somebody might have hurt you very, very badly. And then he apologizes. And you want to forgive him. And then you don't want to make a big fuss about it, and so you tell the person, "All right, I forgive you. Yes, it's all right. Forget about it." And you say, "Forget about it." Now that kind of forgetfulness is willful forgetfulness, and that kind of forgetfulness is good. It's a good kind of forgetfulness. You choose to forget things in time past that can very well impede your progress for good in the future. Now let us also realize that the things that we choose to forget in time past could actually be good things also. But then dwelling our thoughts on those things and choosing not to forget about them can also cause us to slow down in what we want to do good in the future. We might just rest on our laurels, right? We rest our thoughts on things that we did well in time past. Now that kind of remembering is not good, and it might serve us well to forget all those good things in the past. Paul says in verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." Now what should we forget? What should we forget, particularly the things that happened to us in the past year? What should we forget in regards to them, so that we will make good spiritual progress in the new year? And by good spiritual progress, I mean our becoming more and more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we are making that kind of progress, it is good progress. First of all, let's forget our success. Forget our success. You know, Paul could have been very, very proud of his past achievements. Yes, he could have been very, very proud of his past achievements if he wanted to. You see, he was a great pastor. All right, although he was a missionary, he was a great pastor. And of course, he was a great preacher, a great evangelist. And he was, of course, a very, very outstanding missionary. And surely, the great apostle Paul was very, very influential in his writings. Right? I think throughout the ages, I don't think there is anyone whose writings were or are as influential as those of the great Apostle Paul. But friends, Paul still did not count himself to have arrived. He did not count himself to have apprehended. And so he says, I count not myself to have apprehended. I count not myself to have arrived. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, if we look at our past success, to encourage ourselves and to remember that all our successes came from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then based on that success that we have in time past, we are going to achieve greater heights for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, then remembering our success is good. It is not bad. It reminds us of the faithfulness of the one true living God. It reminds us of the power of God. And so we say, as God was faithful in time past, as he was able in time past, so he will be faithful and able in time future. But friends, I dare say that in most instances, yes, that is not the case with us. Because we are sinful creatures. We are very, very inclined to look at our past success and then what? Feel very, very happy and very satisfied with our past achievements. And then the next thing that happens is we rest on our laurels. Now it was to avoid resting on his laurels that the great Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting those things which are behind. Now I remember citing this example to this congregation here. I cited the example of this great basketball coach by the name of Pat Riley. Yes, he used to be a great coach in the basketball league in North America. I don't know whether he's still alive or not. But he used to tell his players, he said, when you have won a game and when people come up to congratulate you, you quickly accept the congratulations. But then very quickly in your heart and in your mind, you must say, next time we will do better. Yes, the message is clear. Don't rest on your laurels. Don't rest on your past success. Reach forward for greater success. And that is what we must do, my dear friends. In our service for the Lord, let us never be satisfied with what we have done. Particularly in this instance here, particularly what we did in the past year. As Sunday school teachers and as kids club teachers, one good question that we might ask is this: what can I do better to be a better Sunday school teacher, a more effective kids club teacher in the coming year? Should I participate in some kinds of training courses? Should I learn from other people? Could I read more books? Could I read books so that I may acquire better skills so that I will be a more effective teacher in the new year? Maybe these are questions you should be addressing if you are a Sunday school teacher or a kids club teacher. And I encourage you to do that. Or the deacons and the leaders who are involved in the exhortations. Maybe we should ask ourselves, how can I be a more effective exhorter? How can I bring the Word of God more effectively across to people? We should ask ourselves questions like this. Or, as a person who focuses on prayer as a service, and I know that there are people who focus their attention on prayer and they regard their praying for the church as a service, praying for other people as a service, and they focus on that. And that's good. And that's good. But we might have to ask this question: how can I be a more effective prayer in the new year? How can I be a more effective participant at the church prayer meeting? Or, in the past year, you have been very faithful in your witnessing, you participated in the 30 in 30, and daily you have been wanting to share the gospel with people. Very good, friends. But the question that we need to ask is, how can I improve and be a better witness in the coming year? Through my living and through my enthusiasm, through my zeal in sharing the gospel. Maybe we should make this resolution. Every day of my life, as of next year, I'm going to give up one track per day. And that's what we try to encourage all of us here to do in the 30 and 30 program of this church. Then, never let us be contented with our spiritual growth, particularly the growth that we had in the past year. Maybe we grew last year, but friends, let us not be contented with our growth. Great saints of the faith never looked back and stood still in their spiritual growth. Now Moses surely was walking very, very close with the Lord, wasn't he? Yes, he was walking very, very close with the Lord. And the Word of God has this to say to us with regards to his relationship with the one true living God. And I refer you to Exodus 33. Please turn to Exodus 33. And you see the kind of relationship Moses had with the one true living God. Exodus 33:11. I read the verse for you. Exodus 30:11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Now that was the kind of relationship Moses had with the one true living God. He spoke to God face to face, as a friend to a friend. My dear friends, if you have that kind of privilege, would you be very, very satisfied? Would you be very, very contented with that kind of relationship with the one true living God? Surely you would say, yes. I talk to God as a friend to a friend, face to face, as a friend to a friend. But friends, Moses was not contented with that kind of relationship. He wanted to know more of God. He wanted to be closer to the one true living God. And so he made this request of God. Look at verse 18, same chapter. Exodus 33 and verse 18. And Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And God replied, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Now the Lord of course knew exactly what Moses wanted. Yes, he knew that Moses desired to see him, to see his face. And the Lord says this in verse 20. Yes, verse 20. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. But God was very, very gracious to Moses. He could not show himself completely to Moses, because if he did that, Moses would be struck dead. And so he says in verse 33, chapter 33, verse 23, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Now, we do not know exactly what is meant by God's back parts, but it was something that the Lord allowed Moses to see. My dear friends, what I'm trying to impress on you is Moses was not satisfied with that kind of relationship with the Lord. He was already living very, very close to God, but he was not satisfied with that relationship. Neither should we be satisfied, no matter how close we are to the Lord, neither should we be satisfied with that kind of relationship. Now, it was the same with the great Apostle Paul in the New Testament. Paul was never satisfied with his spiritual growth, even though he was already walking very, very close to the one true living God. You know, Paul saw the Lord Jesus Christ at least how many times? At least 4 times. I'll talk more about it on January 3rd, this coming Lord's Day. At least 4 times he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. But was he satisfied with the kind of close relationship that he had with the Lord? He communed very, very closely with him. But was he satisfied? The answer is, no, not satisfied. I want more of the Lord. And so he says in Philippians, if you turn to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Alright, chapter 3 and verse 10. Paul says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Yes, he definitely wanted to know more and more of the Lord. He wanted to have a deeper knowledge of the Lord. And specifically, he wanted to know more of the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, did Paul experience that kind of power in his life? The power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? My dear friends, surely he did. He experienced the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what he was previously. Yes, the persecutor of the church, injurious to the church, a blasphemer. God transformed him, gave him life. He truly experienced the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, did Paul ever suffer for the Lord? Yes. Yes, he gave us a whole list of sufferings that he went through. Yes, in the book of 2 Corinthians, he tells us the whole list of sufferings that he went through for the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet he says here, that I may know him and the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to have a part, I want to share in his sufferings. Yes, he knew something about the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had great knowledge of it, but that wasn't good enough for him. He wanted to know more and more of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, he wanted to know more, not for anything else. He wanted to know more so that he could be of greater service to other people, so that when he suffered, other people would be benefited spiritually by his sufferings. Friends, we see that saints always look forward. They always look forward. They do not look backward and then feel very, very satisfied with their past success. No, they look forward. And the greatest desire that they have is to be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, that must be our desire also, to become more and more like him. Is that your desire, friends? Forget about those things which are behind. But in a new year, aim to be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what should we forget next? Next, we should forget our past sins, and more correctly, the guilt of our past sins, particularly the guilt of our sins of the past year. Yes, surely we must have committed sins in the past year, but friends, let us forget about the guilt of our past sins, the sins of the past year. But if we do remember them, let us always remember that we have confessed our sins, yes, and our guilt had been taken away by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we do remember our past sins, we should focus our attention on what? Our past sins? No, my dear friends, let us not do that, but rather focus on the mercy and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are people who can never forget their guilt of their past sins. Yes, they keep feeling guilty about their past sins. Year after year, they will keep remembering the guilt of their past sins. And because they keep remembering their guilt and they do not want to forget their past, the guilt of their past sins, they are unable to serve. They say, no, I don't feel worthy enough to serve because of my guilt. Friends, let us look at how Paul saw himself with regards to his sinful past. Let us see how he saw himself. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Please turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and see how he saw himself. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And verse 13. And this was what Paul says of himself. He says, I am one who was before a blasphemer, verse 13, and a persecutor, and injurious. In other words, I injured the church, I hurt the church, I created injuries for the Christians, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And verse 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Verse 16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. My dear friends, Paul chose to forget the guilt of his past sins. He wasn't going to allow the guilt of his past sin to cripple him in his service. No, he wasn't allowed that to. Well, he wasn't allowing that to happen. Now, of course, it would be literally impossible for him to wipe out, you know, that memory that he had of that sin. Remember, the martyr Stephen was stoned right before him. Paul at that time was a young man. He was known as Saul. And those who were persecuting, stoning the martyr Stephen, had placed their clothes at the feet of this young man, Saul. Saul saw him. He saw it. Yes, you think he could forget that? And there was a great possibility that he was one of those young organizers of the stoning of the martyr Stephen. But friends, he chose to forget the guilt of that sin. Instead, what did he remember? You know what he remembered? We read those verses earlier on. Let's go back again. Verse 13, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy. So what did he remember? My dear friends, he remembered the mercy of the Lord. He realized how merciful God was to him. And verse 16, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy. Verse 16 again, right? I obtained mercy. And then verse 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So what did he remember? He also remembered the grace of the Lord. So he wasn't allowing the guilt of his past sins to trouble him, to cripple him. Instead, he remembered the mercy of the Lord. He remembered the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what about Peter? Peter denied the Lord three times. You think Peter could forget that sin that night in the palace of the high priest? I can tell you, for the rest of his life, he would never forget that sin. Remember, he denied the Lord three times. And after he denied the Lord three times, you know the word of God tells us very, very clearly in Luke chapter 22. It says this, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. After Peter denied the Lord three times, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. You remember before Peter denied the Lord, that night the Lord told him, Peter, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times. And that night he denied the Lord three times, the cock crow, the Lord Jesus Christ looked at him. You think he will be able to forget that for the rest of his life? No, my dear friends, impossible for him to forget. But there was one thing that he could forget. He could forget that guilt. Yes, if that guilt was removed by the Lord Jesus Christ, cleansed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, if he experienced the grace and the mercy of the Lord, and that was some. Those are the things he experienced. How do we know he experienced those the grace and the mercy of the Lord? We know that because after the Lord rose up from the dead, there was one early morning when Peter and six other disciples went out fishing by the Sea of Galilee. And the Lord appeared to them. And the disciples caught nothing. And the Lord said to them, cast your net on the right-hand side of the boat. And they did that. And they caught 153 fishes. And then they had breakfast with the Lord. And the Lord spoke to Peter. Up to that time, possibly the Lord did not speak to Peter. Peter did not hear the Lord say anything to him. He was very, very desirous that the Lord would speak to him. Very, very desirous that the Lord would forgive him. Of course the Lord knew. And so the Lord said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Three times. And the Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you. Lord, you know that I love you. No, you know, Lord, you know that I love you. And the Lord said, feed my lambs. feed my sheep,
feed my sheep. Peter knew that the Lord had forgiven him. If the Lord had not forgiven him, the Lord would not have said this to him, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. So he knew the Lord had forgiven him. Yes, the Lord had restored him to his position of being an apostle, as an apostle. And so for the rest of his life, surely he must have been trusting on those last words of the Lord Jesus Christ to him. Yes, those last words were good enough. Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. He was not going to remember the guilt of his sins. Likewise, my dear friends, we must forget the guilt of our past sins. Once we have repented, let us remember that the Lord has washed all that guilt away, and he's not going to hold us guilty anymore. He says to us, your sins will I remember no more. In other words, God will not hold us guilty for our sins. Now, what else must we forget, friends? We must forget our past failures. Forget our past failures. In the past year, we might have experienced some failures. I do not know what kind of failures you experienced, but we could have experienced some failures. You students, I do not know how you did in school. Maybe you didn't do very well in school, and you didn't do well because you were not disciplined enough to do your work well. Yes, and so you didn't glorify the name of the Lord. So what do you do now? Cry over spilled milk? No, my dear friends, don't do that. Move on, but make this confession. Tell the Lord that, confess to him that you failed him in the past year, but this year you resolve to do better. You want to bring honor and glory to his name, and that's what you should be doing. Now then, what other personal failures might you have experienced in the past year? You might have failed in your work, or maybe you might have failed spiritually because you had not been exercising discipline in the way you do your quiet time. You didn't spend enough time with the Lord. You didn't read the word of the Lord enough. You didn't pray enough in the past year. And so you fail as a witness for the Lord. But friends, realize that by the grace of the one true living God, you can make good. Whatever failure that you experience in the past year, remember this truth. You can make good by the power, by the might, by the strength of the Lord. We must not allow our failures to doom us to a life of failures, or doom us to another year of failure. You know, in the Word of God, there is one very, very outstanding example of a failure. You want to guess who? John Mark. John Mark. You remember this young man called John Mark? He was a very, very outstanding failure. Now, in the first missionary journey that the great apostle Paul took, he went with Barnabas, and they took along with them this young man called John Mark. Now, not long into their missionary journey, they traveled from Antioch, went through Cyprus, and then they went to Asia Minor. That was not long after they started from Antioch. This young man, John Mark, dropped out of the missionary journey. And so we read this about him. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia. Pamphylia was in Asia Minor. And John Mark, departing from them, returned to the city of Jerusalem. Now why he dropped out, we do not know. But we know that he went back to the city of Jerusalem. Perhaps he couldn't take the rigors of the missionary journey. Now in the eyes of human beings, we say that, well, sorry, John Mark, you are a failure as far as being a missionary is concerned. So, when Paul and Barnabas decided to go on the second missionary journey, Paul said, I don't want this young man to come along. He was a failure in the first trip. But Barnabas was very, very insistent. Barnabas was a people builder. So he graciously wanted John Mark to come along. The two men of God had very, very sharp contention between them because of John Mark. And so they went separate ways. Barnabas took along with him John Mark, while Paul took along with him Silas.
Now the question is, did John Mark make good? Did he make good? He was a failure. Did he make good? The answer is yes, he did. And the proof of his making good was the comment made by the great apostle Paul concerning him. Paul was at that time in the last phase of his life, waiting to be executed in prison. And then he wrote to Timothy and said this to Timothy. He said this, "Only Luke is with me." Yes, Paul was in a very sorry state indeed. Only Dr. Luke was with him. He was in prison, Luke was with him. And he said this to Timothy, "Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Profitable to me. Earlier on, he rejected him, right? Near the end of his life, he said, "Mark is profitable to me for my ministry." For the ministry. So Mark indeed made good. Now another proof that he did make good was the fact that he wrote the gospel according to Mark. Now, if Mark was one who continued to look back at his past failure, the failure that he experienced in his first missionary trip, I dare say that Mark would not even dare to embark on the second missionary trip. Don't you think so? If he kept looking at his past failure. But he went on the second missionary journey with Barnabas. And then if he didn't go on the second missionary journey, we would not hear of this wonderful comments by the great apostle Paul concerning him. And surely he would not be given that great privilege of writing the gospel according to Mark. But he made good. So the question is, where have we failed? Where have we failed? Now we could have failed in our family life. We might have failed in being a good father, might have failed in being a good mother, and you children, you could have failed in being good children to your parents. Isn't it true? You could have failed. Yes. And then, and as a brother or a sister, you could have failed in relating with your siblings. You could have failed. My dear friends, if you have failed, don't let that failure continue. Don't continue to look back at that failure. Acknowledge that you failed, but learn from your failure. And do not continue to look back and feel that you are doomed. In the coming new year, you are going to be doomed to failure again. But in the new year, friends, resolve to make good. Ask the Lord for strength. Ask the Lord for wisdom. And remember this truth. The Word of God has to be true, friends. This truth. We can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. Christ strengthens us. So there is no reason why we cannot do what we ought to be doing. Remember, if you fail, remember this man called Mark. God made a good success of him. Now, what else should we forget? Now, we should forget our grievances. Yes, in the past year, maybe we had grievances against people. Yes, and so we were very, very bitter. Maybe we had been allowing those grievances to fester in us, and now we have become very bitter. And friends, if we continue to have this unforgiving spirit, this unforgiving spirit, I tell you, is going to eat us up. One day, Peter came to the Lord and asked the Lord, "Lord, till how many times should I forgive people who hurt me? 7 times? And the Lord said to him, "I say not unto thee, Peter, until 7 times. No, Peter, but until 70 times 7. In other words, we must continue to forgive and to forgive and to forgive. Hard to do. Maybe we say impossible to do, but we must do it by the grace of God. I know of this professed believer. She has a very unforgiving spirit, and her nerve is very, very raw. At the slightest, she blows her top. And not only will she blow her top, but she will dig up all the past wrongs that she imagined people were guilty against her. She will not forget. And she will not forgive. Yes. And I think she must be one of the most unhappy persons around. She does not know how to love others. But what does the Word of God teach us concerning love? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 5. I think it's good for us to look at this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. I read for you. Love does not behave itself unseemly. In other words, love is very courteous. Seeketh not her own. Love is not selfish, not self-centered. It is not easily provoked. Okay? If we have love, we won't have nerves that are very raw. Thinketh no evil, which can be translated as love keeps no record of wrongs. It does not keep a record of wrongs. If they are over, they are over. All right, we have differences with other people, and then when we have another difference again, we don't dig up all the past and bring them out again. No, we don't. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. The right thing for us to do this coming year is this. Don't carry the baggage of grievances that we had in the past year into the new year, but rather practice what the Word of God teaches us. You know what the Word of God teaches us to do? Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And that is what we must do. Now, if there is any revenge to take, who should take that revenge? You? No, friends, we are not to take any revenge. If there is a revenge to be taken, the revenge should be taken by the Lord, not by us. So the Word of God says in the same chapter, Romans 12, dearly beloved, verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. The Lord says, vengeance is mine, not yours. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. This is, of course, figurative language. You don't literally put hot coals on people's head. But the hot coals are placed on the metals, placed in a crucible. The whole purpose is to increase the temperature to cause the metals to melt more easily and more completely. Yes, and that is what we must do with people by putting and applying kindness to them. Yes, place kindness on their head and melt them. Melt them with our kindness. And that is what we must do. So friends, what should we forget? Forget our grievances. Grievances of the past year, grievances of the past, let us not carry them forward into the new year. Now what else should we forget? Forgetting those things which are behind. Forget our handicaps. Forget what we do not have. The problem is, often we would focus on what? We would love very much to focus on what we do not have. Yes? Rather than to focus on what we have. And if we did that, then we will never step up in faith, because all the time we say we don't have this, we don't have that, and therefore we don't step up in faith. Now you take the case of the great Apostle Paul. Did Paul suffer any handicap? Yes or no? Yes. And the greatest handicap that he suffered from was this thing that he referred to as the thorn in the flesh. And all of us know that. He suffered a thorn in the flesh. And if it was not something that was very debilitating, Paul would not have mentioned it. He mentioned it, and in fact, he asked the Lord 3 times to have that handicap removed from him. But to each of the times, the Lord said, no. Yes, Paul, no, you are not going to have this removed from you. The whole purpose was to keep Paul humble. And then the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And that was good enough for Paul. Yes, he was not going to look back on his handicap, keep on complaining about his thorn in the flesh. No. The Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And that was good enough for him. He moved on. First, let's focus on what we have and forget about what we do not have. Forget about our handicaps. If you have only one talent, I think you have more than one talent. But if we have only one talent, let us not focus on the 4 or 5 talents that we do not have, which other people you think may have. Forget about those talents that we do not have, but focus on that talent that you have for His glory. Apply that talent, use that talent for His glory. And I dare say that all of us have at least one talent. You believe that? The Word of God says we have at least one talent. I can say that all of you have at least one talent. Do you know how to pray? Yes? Yes, that's a talent. Alright, that's a talent. So let's use that talent. Yes, even if it's one talent, let us make use of that talent well. And I've read of people who are bedridden, but they serve as the greatest warriors of the faith by being great prayers. They pray, and churches were revived as a result of the prayer. Now, if in our church we do not have many talents, as many talents as other churches have, let us not lament and say, we don't have this talent, we don't have that talent. Look at the church. It's doing well because it has got so many talents. Forget about what we do not have, but rather focus on what we have and make use of what we have and do the things which the Lord wants us to do. Yes, let the Word of God instruct us. The Word of God says to us in the book of Zechariah, despise not the day of big things. No. Despise not the day of small things. Yes, small things. With small things, the Lord can do big things. Remember, there was that young boy who offered his 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Just small things. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The Lord got hold of them, gave thanks, multiplied them, and fed 5,000. And there was left over, friends, left over that few 12 baskets. So remember this. Alright, let us not focus on our handicap. Let us not focus on what we do not have, but focus on what the Lord has given to us and make use of that to serve Him and to bring honor and glory to Him. Now the next question is, what should we reach for? Forget about those things which are behind us, but what should we reach for? Yes, verse 13 and verse 14. Brethren, Philippians, all right, chapter 3, 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I count not myself to have arrived. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul was straining, reaching, stretching for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. The word mark means the goal, for the goal of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. My dear friends, he was looking for a high mark. He was looking for a heavenly prize. He was looking for an eternal reward. That was what Paul was looking for. Looking for an eternal reward. And so, he said, with regards to his sufferings, in 2 Corinthians 4:17, he says, for our light affliction, Paul went through sufferings, and the sufferings were great sufferings, but he referred to them as light afflictions. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Our light affliction, is very, very light, and it's working for us, preparing for us a glory that far, far outweighs the sufferings that we are going through right now. As we said, Paul was looking for an eternal reward. Was not Paul looking for the new body that he would have when he sees the Lord Jesus Christ face to face? That would be his reward, looking for that new body, forward to that new body. Was not Paul looking for that heavenly mansion that the Lord Jesus Christ went to prepare for him? Surely he was looking for that. Now, do you not think that Paul was also looking forward to the crowns that the Lord promised to give to him if he were faithful? Surely he was looking forward to those crowns. The crowns of life, the crown of life, the crown of righteousness, the crown of glory, and the crown of rejoicing. All these crowns he was looking for. But he was not going to look forward to those crowns and to place those crowns on his head. By the way, he wasn't going to do that. He was going to receive those crowns and then place them at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. But do you know what do you think was the greatest reward he was looking for? What was it? My dear friends, I dare say that the greatest reward that he was looking for was this high commendation from the Lord, which is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that was what he was looking for, I dare believe. I read about this violinist who performed at a concert, and his performance was very, very outstanding. And at the end of the performance, the audience gave him a standing ovation, and they called for many encores, and he came out, he bowed and acknowledged the encores. But there was no smile on his face. He was very, very, his face was a bit strained. Yes, and the audience was quite puzzled as to why he was looking that way. And he actually was not looking at the audience. He was looking up on the balcony, looking at his master, his teacher who had been teaching him for years. And he looked up, and then the violinist broke into a smile because his master nodded his head. He gave him nods of approval. My pupil, you have done well. And that was what he was looking for. My dear friends, I believe the great Apostle Paul was looking for that. This high commendation from the Lord. Likewise, we must be looking for this high commendation from the Lord. Yes, let us strive and reach and strain so that one day when we stand before the Lord, we will hear him say this to us. And friends, that will be our greatest reward for all eternity. As we come to the end of the year, let us forget the things which are behind. First, let's forget about our successes, because if we keep on remembering our successes, we might very well rest on our laurels. Forget our past sins, particularly the guilt of our past sins. Yes, if we don't forget the guilt of our past sins, my dear friends, the guilt is going to weigh us down and we are going to be very ineffective in our service for the Lord. But let us remember, every time we think of our guilt, every time we think of our sins, let us rather remember what? Remember the grace and the mercy of the Lord. Yes, we have been forgiven. We came to him, we confessed our sins, and he says that our sins have been washed away. Let's believe that. Then let us forget about our past failures. Where we have failed, acknowledge our past failures, and then remember that the Lord can cause us to make good. And every time we think of our past failures and we think that we are not able to make good, think of this man called John Mark, a failure, but God calls him to make good. And let us forget our grievances. Yes, we might be very unhappy with people, and we feel like getting back on them, but friends, let us not do that. Forget our grievances. If there is any revenge to take, let the Lord take the revenge. It's not for us to take the revenge, but rather what we should be doing is this. Let us not overcome evil with evil, but let us overcome evil with good. Then forget about our handicaps. Let us forget about what we do not have, but remember what we have and make use of what we have to serve the Lord. Remember Paul. Paul forgot about his thorn in the flesh. All right? Instead, he reached forth to serve the Lord. And let us reach out, stretch, strain towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the greatest prize that we will receive, my dear friends, is to hear him say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let us pray that by the grace of God, one day when we stand before the Lord, we will be able to receive this great prize from him, the words of commendation, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your kindness and your goodness. Thank you for your word of truth tonight. Lord, we pray that like the great Apostle Paul, this evening we may all make this resolution. Yes, we
O Lord, tonight, like the great Apostle Paul, may be able to say, we count not ourselves to have apprehended, but what this one thing we do, forgetting those things which are behind, but reaching forth unto the things which are before, we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, we pray that you will give us the strength, the holy desire, O Lord God, in the new year, to do better for you. Help us, O Lord God, that in the new year, we will become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray and ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.